Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to talk putters as we welcome our putter guru, John Berquist. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad to be along this hour. We want to talk about some putting. So who are we going to turn to? Well, you know, we have developed a lot of industry insiders over the years we've been doing this show and some go-to people, including this hour's guest. John Berquist has been a leader in this industry of putter development for a number of years, and we were fortunate enough to be introduced to him by one of our PR buddies, Joe. Joey did a great job, and so we talked to JB a number of months ago, and liked what he was saying, said, you know, you know a lot about this putting portion of the industry. We'd like to, you know, bring you on as a regular contributor, you know, not every month, but, you know, regularly, so people can figure out what's going on and dissect and kind of break down this part of the industry, because the putter is so important to the game and to the person. They got to like what it looks like. Aesthetics is paramount. You like got to get performance going on. You have to change your grip sometimes. You've got to save your nickels and pennies and everything else. Well, this guy knows all about it. So let's waste no more time and welcome John Berquist back to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. JB, thanks for making time as always.
Keith, always a pleasure, man.
Well, I thank you very much for that. And he's also very unassuming, and I always like that. But the guy can be very unassuming when he knows what is going on. First of all, it was great to see you in Orlando. Finally meet face to face with the great John Berquist, and then, you know, watch you work your magic and get around. And we want to go back a little bit to the PGA Merchandise Show and talk a little bit about what you saw and things that are on the market. But we'll bring it full circle this hour as JB will send in the time with us, and he'll break down what the industry looks like, what's important, and the fact that you don't have to spend $3,000, you don't even have to spend $1,000 on a putter. It has gotten that crazy. I don't know. Is that where we start? Do we start talking about price points and stuff? My man Bob Bettinardi, who's been on this show in the past, is getting all kinds of. He's getting like Scotty Cameron type numbers, and we know what Scotty gets.
Well, yeah, and what is next week's the Japan Fair, and so, you know. Everyone's audience is a little different. Sometimes they overlap. But if you go to the Japan Fair, I don't think you're going to find any putters under $1,000. I've only been once. It was a few years ago. But, again, just a different demographic of buyers that are looking for let me step back a little bit. They're not looking for anything more than the ratio of how important your putter is to your game. So – for those of you who love putting and think it's the most important club in your bag, you're right. And so that's kind of where I think the Japanese and Korean markets have kind of just said this is the status quo. It offers an opportunity for other types of smaller companies to enter that fray. But if you move back to, you know, our demographic in the U.S., at the PGA show this last year, there was only one putter company outside of what I was dropping with Dormy that was selling for $1,000. Everyone else seemed to kind of hover in that $399 to $650 range. That was primarily where I saw most of the putters launching. And even some of the custom options didn't creep too much higher than that.
Well, I know you got a chance to spend some time in the Bettinardi booth. And go over kind of the way they put their putters together and the technology and everything involved in that process.
Yeah, and again, you know, Bob's been around probably longer than Scotty has, but from a name recognition, he still has, you know, immense credibility, validity. Every year he has something special. And so the products that most of us have access to, I think, still run in that, let's just say, $500. You know, maybe there's a couple models under $500, on up to, let's say, $800, $900. And again, you know, these aren't outside the norm because, again, they're, I would say, highly exotic materials, like their brass collection of the Queen Bee line. I mean, that was beautiful. It was really well done. They had a lot of different versions of neck configurations and hosel placements. And, you know, they have their own antidote. And that's literally the name of their, the zero torque putter they have. But if you go into their custom program, and it's really fun to have them kind of reveal what models are available. There's a stock, again, I think 10 to 15 models that you can choose from. And then from an a la carte basis, you can add stamping, you can add lie, you can add color, you can add finishes, you can add your sight line. So as you start to add those up, I think the minimums creep into the $2,500 range, which honestly, for that type of experience and what you're getting is pretty, I think, reasonable. And so Bender does a great job of offering an entry level into the brand at maybe $500, and you can go as high as you want from there, which I think is incredible. I know they're growing, and the custom division is growing. So that means that there's both people who are looking for quality product for a reasonable price and people who are willing to spend something more than that. And for them, it pencils because Bob offers that custom for those type of clients.
Before we get into the comparison of money spent on the particular clubs, this Asian market has for years been sticking in my mind as profound, yet the wonderment is there for me. And I say that because people sometimes equate the monetary output with quality of product, and that's not always the case, especially when it comes to golf clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, quality is something that can be achieved by anyone on earth. And that's a true statement. Whether it be Vietnam, whether it be China, whether it be Taiwan, whether it be Japan, whether it be Germany or Italy, USA, South America. We can all find someone who's capable of creating incredible, repetitive quality. Then it's just the price game. And so I think that you could even pare down that through a funnel where you're going to have a number of manufacturers that are competing in a similar price point, then service. And so I have found that service has done a great job of sort of being the tiebreaker when it comes to manufacturing costs. And they have been ones that, you know, I'm still using 15 years later. So does that translate into the people who are buying them overseas, let's just say in Japan and Korea? I think behaviors are different. I developed a rangefinder a few years back, and that market was only going to buy this rangefinder if it had a belt clip on it. So they wanted to make sure that there was a belt clip on it so they could put it on their belt, because that's where rangefinders go in that specific region. You know how well they did in the States? We didn't even offer it. But I think it was, you know, close to 20 or 30,000 units that were sold because of that behavioral. So different cultures give you different perspectives on where they find value. And I think that the putter market is valued just a little bit differently, and maybe one that can digest $1,000 easier than we can here in the States.
I'm talking to John Berquist, our putter guru on Teed Up with Keith Jones. And the price of putters vary greatly, but what drives the putter segment of the industry?
Well,
I'll rephrase for you. I know this guy's a brainiac, so I have to elevate my level of speech for him to comprehend.
I don't want to ramble too much.
No, what I'm saying is, so if you know that 90% of the golfers are B-league guys and girls, so guys cumulative here, men and women, and the 10% is the top portion of it, the guys that will certainly be there to pay X amount of dollars, why in the mind of a putter company would you say this putter is valued at X? Completely out of the hat number. Okay, this putter is going to be $500. This one's $750, et cetera. Why do you come out with the mindset of such a price set versus this putter or this club has this much good stuff going for it that you don't have to spend that amount of money? Where does the developer come from? As I know, R&D costs money.
Yeah, well, you know, if you threw the ingredients to what it takes to manufacture a product, I'd say R&D, if it's done pretty, I would say it's universally done very similarly, regardless of the size of the company, right?
Right.
You're venturing, you know, ideas to concepts to prototypes to many potential sign-off options, and then your first run. And I don't think that process necessarily costs more per se in one company, and it's all based on how much technology, I guess, they want to bring to the table. If that's all relatively the same, then it's volume is going to play a major role in that. And so if you are, you know, one of the big four, five, you are guaranteed to get, let's just say 100,000 units, 200,000 units, 300,000 units, potentially more. Those are guaranteed sales, right? And as long as you're giving your retail stores the margins that they're happy with, everyone's winning, the end user's buying that, and there's a number that's attached to it that usually sets the price. And I would say right now it's between $379 and $550, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'd say the more of the zero torque, because that's sort of a in vogue type of rhetoric that we're hearing everywhere, those are going to push $450 to $550. Okay, so that is what the market will bear, and it's been defined by, you know, one or two companies. I think the main contributor to that was Lab, because they came out and said our putter's $449, whatever it came out. Then by the time you add different grips and shaft configurations, you can, you know, get that up way north of $700-$800. Well, then the next run comes out, and they're like, well, we feel we can charge $599. And so all of a sudden, when they start getting it, that's setting the new price point. So Lab was the one, I think, that set the latest sort of bar that people are able to sell products at right now, because that's what, I guess, the consumer could absorb, and they were willing to pay. And so, you know, Lab selling 500,000 units at a, you know, average sale price of, let's just say it's $550. Everyone's, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of putters. So that's what I think defines it.
But Lab is a putter company. I mean, that sly angle balance for those playing along at home for Lab. But that's what they are. They're not tailor-made that makes a full set of clubs. They make everything. And they're not, you know, or pick another company that you want, Callaway or what have you, that to have a full set that way. They just make putters. So when you're a putter specialist like yourself, and you go and you create something special, I understand that's like a work of art. Scotty Cameron has set the bar for people. People collect Scotty Cameron putters, you know, and barely, I mean, they might hit them once at the most, you know, they just collect them, and it's astounding. But that's what's going on in that smaller segment of the golf industry, the golf world, if you will, versus Jill and Joe that want to go out and play the weekend, or, you know, obviously want to have something nice in their bag or what have you. But, you know, $500 for one club is like going, taking us, you know, more towards the driver price range as the start.
Well, you know, this has been set by the larger OEMs, Lab being its little outliner, but relevant because of the size of and the volume they're doing. But again, even the smaller stories that I saw at the PGA show, where they were small individual CNC shops that were pumping out maybe a couple hundred putters a year or a month.
Let's start right there as we're with John Berkowitz this hour, heading to our first break. We'll be back.
All right, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.
Before we went to the break, we were talking with John Berquist, this hour's guest, about the PGA Merchandise Show and putter companies that he saw there, and he's always evaluating. He's the brainiac kind of guy, a scientist. He's a putter professor, as I like to call him, amongst other things. But you know, JB, the things that you saw weren't necessarily just coming from the big companies.
No, I think it's the fun part. Every year you get to kind of assess who's doing what. Is there technology that's being baked into these? Is it regurgitating something that is, you know, was novel in the past? And every year the answer is yes, you're getting a little bit of both. So I did see quite a bit of innovation in the putter space. Surprisingly, some of them really were, I think, in arenas that I would never have thought would exist. I mean, one of them is a company called Ogre Golf, O-G-R-E. And I got to meet with the founder, and he was printing his shafts out of magnesium, and they had this really beautiful transition into almost like a Game of Thrones type of theme behind the head of the putters and the grip itself. But I mean, again, just the creativity was astounding. I'd never seen anything like it. So that wasn't necessarily performance driven, but ideally, actually, it was. He has a great story around frequencies and resonance around, you know, the importance of magnesium and how that vibration can translate to a great feel. I tried them out. They were not my style, but overall, they felt great. So, you know, that was the $1,000 putters. If you looked at that one and you talked with this gentleman, you would be like, oh, that's a deal. Like, that's a piece of art that I can play with every day that's stunning that no one else has. He probably could have charged $5,000 for that thing. Now, everyone else is trying to compete at some performance level or taking another stab at a center shafted, low torque, zero torque putter. There's room for everybody. And I think the putter space is where I see most of the innovation at the PGA Show. Not necessarily from the big boys, though. Sorry to say.
Well, there's not much you can do anymore with a driver and other clubs. I mean, it's kind of what's old is new again when it comes to the kind of design, because you only have a head. Obviously, you have the face and such, but you know, you have the hosel, you have the shaft, and you have the grip. I mean, that's pretty much where you're at with a club.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's opportunity to move weight around, and where you want to move weight kind of defines the overall form of, I think, putters and drivers. Drivers are still fairly limited. But, you know, the PGA Show is a wonderful place for inspiration. It's an incredible networking environment. Keith, you and I got to meet for the first time face-to-face. You're exactly how I had envisioned you. Tall with a great hat and a voice that... it's silky, buddy. It's
hi,
silky.
Boom.
As soon as I saw you across the room, I was like... That voice matches that guy.
Thank you. I appreciate that, JB. I boom. Love it. Thank you very much. He's making the host almost blush. You know, that's good. You're part of this. You're part of the team. It's okay. You don't have to kiss up to the boss. No. See that, guys? Ha, told you. Yeah, handsome too. Handsome on that.
From, there you go. I was going to say that.
You too, a hat wearer. So I have great appreciation. That's stylish as well. So there you go. But the innovation doesn't have to come from the big companies. Matter of fact, I mean, like Lab came out of, I won't say nowhere, but there are companies that have to be ready. And we've had so much product come across our desk over the years, and some of the best stuff is the companies are no longer around. They weren't ready to hit lightning in a bottle, or the supply couldn't meet the demand, whatever it was, mismanagement after they did the first go round and stuff. So these companies fall by the wayside, and so much good product has gone away. It's a shame.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why those types of concepts make their way, you know, back to the table. Maybe not from the same company or entity that started it, but, you know, there's always a space. It's just when you do come out with a product, you got to have marketing dollars. And from marketing dollars, it can spiral into sales, right? And then, you know, lightning does have to be caught somewhere along the line, but everyone's, I would say, success point has a different metric to it. And so The limited edition stuff, I think, is a great place to start. You can experiment. In theory, you don't have to have a large volume to define a success story. And maybe that's why some of these prices are higher, because they are limited runs. So the current one we're doing with Dormy, which is going to launch in May, we did showcase it at the PGA show. That's $1,000 putter.
Ooh, now, okay. What is that? Well, I got to take a breather there. $1,000 for a putter. Okay, hold on. Okay, we're heading to the bottom of the hour with John Berquist, our putter industry. Well, he's in his lab as a mad scientist. We'll be back after this break.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
All right, I think we caught our breath. We're back for the second half hour of the show, spending it with John Berquist, our putter guru, the mad scientist who's in his laboratory in Seattle Landish in the state of Washington. And just before we went to the break, said Dormy is coming out with a putter for $1,000. I think I regurgitated that correctly. I had to sit back in my chair, take a couple deep breaths, stabilize myself, and such. I personally have never paid $1,000 for any club. However, I'm sure it's pretty darn good, and for that kind of money, it better be pretty good.
Well, I think so, and I think Dormy thinks so also. And this is where maybe the second part of what you had asked beforehand. You know, you have volume that can define a price point, but then you also have brand that can define a price point. And you know, Dormy is a premier luxury leather goods manufacturer in this space that's been around for 10 years. And they are in retail spaces and course management companies that their clientele demanded. So when you're looking at sort of positioning your brand and who you're doing your collaborations with, that also will define a price point. And so the fun part we had over this last PGA show is we did, you know, three or four different leather goods. We did the putters. We're doing some other fun products. But when you start to look at the introduction of these together, right, you may have a head cover that's $250, and you have a head cover that's $1,800, and then you have a tote bag that's $300, and another leather tote bag that's $900. So as you're looking at the collection within these, you know, Dormy brand and it's Dormy Biflux, and so it's a true collaboration, you're not shell shock, because everything in there has a clientele that it, you know, doesn't necessarily have limitations, and it's kind of just disposable income for them. So we are pushing for quality that defines that brand story initially, and then you start to think about all the other elements of performance and technologies that are baked into it. So I think we can easily justify what we're doing in this putter. I mean, there's six or seven different sort of quality features that we're showcasing. And then there's adjustability. There's some modular components to it. And so, you know, we also look at where it's made. And so all these are kind of getting thrown into the pot of stew. And you figure out a way that, you know, can accommodate most, not everybody, and put a limited edition on it, and your upfront costs aren't a lot, and there's margins to share with everybody.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. It is it's part of what the market will bear, but it's also depending on the company, kind of company that you are, what kind of clientele are you going at. And the guys at Dormy have done a fantastic job. I mean, they are a luxury brand, and anytime you get into that L word of luxury, you're going to expect to pay top dollar for products. And, you know, like you said, $1,800, I think you said, for a head cover. So I don't know. I'm sure that was for a driver, not a putter, but you never know.
It's fascinating, though. I mean, these are true craftsmen. I kind of look at myself the same way. I mean, I played yesterday, and I built two clubs yesterday for two different people. One of them had a lie angle of 78 degrees, and it was a standard length, and it fit him perfectly, and he made many, many putts. The other guy, I got a heel-shafted mallet that had a 68-degree lie angle, which was very flat, and he wanted it at 33 degrees, and it set up for him perfectly. And so this idea of being able to white glove these experiences, I think add value because they're being done by people who know what they're doing.
Well, there's no question. I mean, that's when we know that you know what you're doing. That's why you are a contributor to this show, our putter guru and mad scientist. He's still currently in his laboratory. He's almost always in his laboratory. So the credit goes to you, but you also know the lay of the land, which is why we're having you on the show, because that's the important when people are trying to figure this out. This is part of why we're doing this show. Part of why this particular episode about putters, but also why we do this show in general, and that's to help the golfing public who goes around to the stores and says, "What is going on here? How do I figure out which putter is best for me?" So that's the operative question that I throw back to you, putter guru, because there are a number of things that people need to look for in putters.
I think, you know, feel like it's almost as if you're being drawn. You go to a putter corral and, like, there may be a model that's calling for you. Is it something that's been, you know, plugged into your head because of marketing dollars, or is it something that you truly are feeling connected with? And that's where, you know, testing is free. You can go to any of these pro shops, go to your, you know, your own club, and just start asking to demo and roll them and see what ones fit. I do take the philosophy that there's no, not everyone fits a specific style, right? Mm-hmm. I've been around too many tour players who refuse to gravitate outside of what they're using because they've invested thousands and thousands of hours into that particular stroke. And so there's enough when you go into a putter corral nowadays to try anything from heel shafted to, I mean, I can ramble on about different hosel configurations and, you know, MOIs and where weight distribution is, and if it's got zero torque or low torque or length. It's a forever type of discussion. But I think most of us, including myself, if I were to go into a putting corral and, you know, my local retail store or even chain, I'm going to find something I like, and it probably won't cost me an arm and a leg, right?
Right.
I think that we're going to see 7 or 8 brands, and I can walk out with a putter that I'm pretty happy with for $200. I can walk out with one for $400. I can probably walk out with one for $600. I mean, like, that's the cost of putters. So I think when you want to start looking at the behaviors of people, I also see success in brand loyalty. And, you know, we can point to that maybe in a different show. There's just so many brands that are just grabbing onto a community and making that experience with that brand memorable enough to buy $300 polo shirts or $1,500 putters or $3,000 drivers. And it's success. I think that's what golfers in general are looking for, is some form of allegiance or connection to brand as much as equipment.
Yeah, you know, it's astounding, as we're talking to John Berquist on TW Keith Jones, that it's astounding that the PGA Merchandise Show has all these apparel manufacturers, both for men and women, that are there. So just when you think that the putter segment is a little crowded, no. You know, the apparel thing is beyond anything that anybody would ever think would be. How can there be another apparel company? But there are. Because they're trying to put this technology out, or they're trying to take this angle on it and such, whether that's a good business strategy or not, it doesn't matter from the standpoint of they have a company, and that's what they're doing. So when somebody goes out to the golf course and they want to look nice, are they wearing this brand or are they wearing that brand? And what brand loyalty is huge in this country, whether people have a lot of money or they don't have as much money, because that's what you're drawn to and that's what you like. If you like a certain brand, you're going to stay with that. and try to get that out of my hands is going to be difficult. And it's interesting when you're dealing at the top level, because I know you've worked with a lot of professional golfers over the years, and with Flux Golf, continue to do that. But these professionals have either these superstitions or have, this is the way I've always done it and such. But where I'm going with this is the putter is the one club that if they're going to switch up something, that usually ends up being the club that they are more willing to try, which is interesting, but that is the money club for them.
I think it is the money club, and it is. And these guys are making a living or losing a card based on how well they putt. That's possibly why some people are so reluctant to give something up, because it's sort of like, well, I've gotten this far with it, or they're struggling and they're looking for something new. There are people I know who love golf as much as the next guy, and they are so connected to their grandfather, Ping Pao, that they got as a 16-year-old and are using it 40 years later. They've gotten 10 drivers over the years. They've gotten 3 new sets, 4 new sets, 10 bags. They've gone to every, stay and play, course around the country. And they're still relying on that Ping Pao, their grandfather. So, like, there's that emotional connection to it. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard because putters are, like, just this thing that we joke about sleeping with, and we joke about kissing, and we have a relationship with, and we treat them a certain way. It's a very...
Berquist is named. Berquist has named all of his putters. He knows them by first name. Go ahead.
I'll put a list out with a circa date on them. I do enjoy putters, and I do enjoy talking with them. And again, I think there's something for everybody, and you don't have to spend a lot, but there is the opportunity to. Spend if you find value in it.
Well, I do find that putters are much warmer and more receptive to talk to than golf balls are. So I will say that in the putter defense. So
one's disposable, one is not.
that is true. I have traded putters before, and I tell this story really quickly because I'm not sure I ever told him this story, but a new friend that I developed a number of years ago, we're playing in a tournament to benefit Clarence Clemens's foundation, the great saxophonist for the E Street Band, and Bobby had this putter, and I wanted to try. It was a Ping, ironically enough, since JB mentioned it, but it was a Ping. It was an older Ping because I already had a Bullseye. I wasn't putting with that, but I was like, I just was drawn to it, and like, this is interesting, and it might be some history to this or whatever. And of course, he's like, well, if you like it, it's yours. And I'm like, well, anyway, here, well, let me give you this one that I have. And of course, he made all the putts. I'm like, where was that putter when I needed it? Bobby was draining the putts. What the heck, man? I don't know what happens there, but I digress.
No, it's not. It's real. It's real. But I'm putting. It's like, I'm a win-win and a lose-lose. If I miss putts, then it's my putter. And if I make putts, it's because of me. So,
All right, so there you go. Right? Right, very interesting you just said that, right? Because let's go down that rabbit hole, because that's exactly the rub for people, right? If the putter's working, and it doesn't matter if you are a recreational player, you play once a year, or you're one of the top professionals. These guys, everybody goes through it, right? You're like, is it the putter or is it me? And this back and forth type of thing, when it comes to that.
Yep, and some people go out and spend, their hard-earned cash on multiple putters over a lifetime, and some people believe that it's them, right, and I just am having a bad putting day. Or they blame the course, which is probably the easiest to do. It's not us. It's the grass, the greenkeeper's fault. Again, it's such a personal thing. I've enjoyed it for this number of years, and every day I'm doing something new with putters or shafts or something else.
But I love how JB said this number of years. That was a classic John Berquist move right there. Hedge right to the end. There you go. But Exactly. See, who would have thought we'd have this much fun talking about putters? Yeah, you know, we do it because we can on Tee It Up with Keith Jones. We talk about everything in and around the game, personalities and such. And this guy's a personality unto himself anyway, on top of everything else that's got going on in that sharp mind of him that he keeps developing these ideas and stuff, but he brings it to the table for us and for you. So we're really pleased that John Berquist can make time to talk about the realm that is the putter, because that is, you know, it's the performance putter. You know, it's the drive for dough, or drive for show, putt for dough, if the host would not mess that up again. But that's the essence there. Everybody wants to hit the driver, probably shouldn't hit the driver, but everybody has to hit the putter. The fewer times that you hit the putter, the better. Remember this. It's the least amount of strokes you want from the putter. From that standpoint. But if you can get your mindset around it and so get something you're comfortable with, something that looks good to your eye, something, you know, and we didn't talk yet about lie angles and such. So that, you know, let's go back to the lab, the lie angle, the balance, you know, those kind of things, the technology part that's so important to selecting a putter.
Well, I mean, I think that that's part of just the fitting process, right? Like, the idea of manipulating weight to lie angle balance is driven by length. And so I want to give people the option to try product. And that's the fun part, because I'm small enough where I craft product for people. And it's usually after I played around with you, right? Or I've kind of got a little more understanding of what you're currently using. But it's super fun. I mean, honestly, it's great being able to watch someone get them and fit them and then have the componentry to actually, you know, do it accurately and then give them a weapon in their hand they can actually have fun with, but feel good and connected with. So as long as I keep, or I'm able to do this and stay in this game one way or another, reach out to me. I'll gladly design a putter for you. And again, there's a lot of options out there. So when it comes to the technicalities of lie angle balance and or why someone wouldn't play that, there's arc and there's ball position, there's attack angle. There's a lot of things that go into that fitting process. But at the end of the day, I think that most people just want to feel something when they're putting, and that's confidence. And so I can help steer you into that, but I also think if you just spend a little time at your local putter corral, you can walk out with something that is pretty close to what someone would probably fit you with.
Yeah, so says John Berquist, this hour's guest. And JB, I agree with that. I think you just need, it's like anything else, you just need to roll the ball. The importance is get a stroke going, get it kind of honed in, and then pick up a putter, see what kind of results you can get. And then, well, you're at the big box store, or if you go to a smaller store that has great instructional people on staff that can help you kind of analyze you, look at you, I think that's paramount. That's what people should do. And if you're looking for a new putter for the year because you want to lower your golf scores, then, you know, you've got a little bit of research going on. But our man John Berquist has got a company called Flux, and with good form, and he's doing yeoman's work, and it was great to see him in the PGA Merchandise Show. It's great to have him back on this show, and we're getting ready to head to our final break. And when we come back, we'll wrap it up with John Berquist.
Hi, this is Jim McLean, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
And we're back for a final segment of the show. It has been a pleasure to spend time with the mad scientist in his lab in Seattle, Washington, of all places. Who would have thought about that? The only other person I know that's anywhere near Seattle is the great Jim McLean. So, you know, he's got it coming on the show in the upcoming weeks. He's got a new book out, and it's not about the golf swing, which is unbelievable. I given him a little bit of ribbon about that. He's sent a book out to me. I'm sure it'll come, you know, autographed, because, you know, that's how Jim rolls from that standpoint. But Seattle is not a hotbed for golf, and I don't mean the playing golf, because you have some great, beautiful golf courses in Washington State. But you guys that are hanging your shingles in more obscure parts of the country always amaze me.
We're everywhere, right? Whether it be, you know, France, or whether it be Eugene, Oregon, like Lab, or, you know, somewhere else. Yeah, I think, you know, Seattle, it's dreary enough where it keeps me in my studio, but it's dry enough to where I can play golf, you know, almost year round, which is fantastic. We've been very fortunate, and winter golf's been, you know, incredible this year. So, you know, yeah, it was cold, a little frosty late yesterday, but by, you know, 11 o'clock, it's 55 degrees and sunny. And I do that probably twice a week. So a lot of places that we can test up here, you know, year round, it's just, you either have good gear, or, you know, you're not going to have fun.
Yeah, so all kidding aside, no, that makes a lot of sense that way. There are certain places, even though California is not necessarily included in that, that you can have the opportunity to test equipment outdoors year-round at some point during any given day. And it makes a difference, because something like a putter is a real action item. You got to be able to see it on the greens. And yes, you can blame those said greens for the undulations or the poor golf course management or whatever it is you want to blame missing those putts. But to be able to roll a putt on actual grass, on an actual course, is there's nothing like it.
Oh, yesterday would have been a commercial for Flux. I mean, it just was really good friends of mine who've been followers and have each probably owned three or four of my products in the past. And they both got new ones yesterday. And the greens were rolling great, and it was an honor just to have them in their hands, but then to see them make putts with it. It's totally two different products. That's the fun part. That's what I guess what I'm trying to say is, I and Flux don't necessarily have a single model that we're going to try and fit you into, right? Mm-hmm. We are going to try and give you options, and, you know, we can't give you everything under the sun. We definitely can give people a strong enough gamut, whether you're used to playing, you know, an answer style or some form of, you know, blade with, you know, a real basic plumber's neck or gooseneck, or you're someone who dabbles in the realm of, you know, zero torque, owns maybe a couple lab putters, but you're looking for, you know, maybe something that's just a little different. And then that's the novelty, I think, that we have, is we can really just take the attitude of, our goal was to fit people based on preference, and we've got a lot of options that we can help do that with.
JB, I have to think that's a proud papa moment for you, though, when you've got somebody you're playing around a golf with, and they're trying out their new Flux putter in front of you as you're putting against them, so to speak, and them being successful in making their putts or really feeling comfortable with that piece of machinery.
Yeah, because, it, you know, either make the putter or you don't, right? Sure, you can make a good stroke at it, but it was, I mean, for both guys to be able to go from the putting green, which is probably 15 to 20 minutes, practicing, to going out into kind of a pretty cold environment, you know, yes, the greens were rolling really well, but these guys rolled the rock incredibly. Yeah, I am proud. And it's fun because these are good friends of mine. And so that is rare that I'm taking that out and doing that very often. Most of the time, it's me who's the guinea pig, and I'm not making a lot of putts. And people are like, oh, you're the putter guy, huh? No, you don't make many putts, do you?
The putter doesn't work. The putter doesn't work. And you're like, no, it's the agronomist. No, it's not me. It's the agronomist. It's not the putter. It's not the putter mastermind. It's not John Berkowitz. It couldn't be. No. It could be. He's on the show right now, and we're just out of time, and we appreciate his time. The putter guru, the mad scientist in his lab, is always going to be giving you the best information up to date. It was great to see him in Orlando, and we will look forward to having him back on the show as the year goes on. We appreciate you being with us, but we're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Practice those putts. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.